the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In some respects, the Book of Hebrews is one of the most interesting books of the New Testament. Its writer demonstrates his intimate acquaintance with the Old Testament, its concept, and its thought pattern. He very carefully, yet he and I may need to say very meticulously, shows these readers that the crucified and the risen and ascended Christ is greater than all that have gone before. In Jesus Christ, the very crucifixion of the Old Testament, and especially that of sacrifice, have found their fulfillment and their need. Jesus Christ continues his loving role as a Savior and intercessor for those who are his own. He is the person and the object of Jesus Christ and the sole object of our faith, of our hope, and of our love. The writer of Hebrews refers to this when he says in the 10th chapter, beginning at the 19th verse, "Fellow Christians, with the blood of Jesus we shall now boldly go into the holy place, by the new living way he opened for us through the curtain, by the way of his body, and we have a great priest in charge of God's family. Let us then come near God, sincere in our hearts and convinced in our faith, because our hearts are sinking to take away our guilty feelings, and our bodies are washed with clean water. Let us cling to the confession of our hope and not waver in it. We can trust him who gave us the Son." The text takes us into the temple. Between the holy place and the holy of holies and the still beautiful curtain, actually was a double curtain, about 18 inches apart as the Jesus tells us. And through these two curtains and the high priest would go once each year on the great day of atonement to sprinkle blood on the area where once the Ark of the Covenant had stood. When Christ died, these two curtains were torn from top to bottom, so that the priest and Levite and Jesus could look into the Holy of Holies. And this very demanded, and for those in the temple most traumatic way, God told the temple authorities and the covenant people that Christ's self-sacrifice had fulfilled the requirements of his justice and righteousness, that his precious blood had effectively atoned for the sins of all mankind, and that through him, the way to heaven is open, that man can now stand unashamed, clothed in Christ's righteousness before the throne of our heavenly Father. So in verse 22, the writer of Hebrews says so beautifully, "Let us then come near God, sincere in our hearts and convinced in our faith, because the bodies are washed with clean water." The writer refers to the family of God, and that also includes you and me. All who depart the spirit have been washed with the cleansing waters of holy baptism, have been clothed with Christ's garment of righteousness, and thereby they have become members of his family, and that is us. As God's children, we have free and constant access to him. His loving guidance and his providing presence is always with us. I pray that to the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I are and always remain conscious of our utter unworthiness. That we truly feel our complete dependence upon God and are always deeply grateful to him for his forgiving love. That we thank and praise him continually for his ongoing, loving, and forgiving mercy. You need to remember that the writer of Hebrews directed his pastor letter to those who are facing temptation, the daily, never-ending struggle of sin, the tension between the Christ in them and the sinful them was so great, and it comes out all over in the Book of Hebrews. And so often the evil in them won out, and the Christ in them lost the battle. They felt that their freshness, faith, and love often seemed to be so weak and so feeble, and they became so deeply destroyed. Like we, they faced the pressures of the world around them. To the Gentiles, the gospel of the crucified Christ was pure foolishness. Paul uses the term moria, a very pregnant term when you look at the extent of what it means. And to keep in mind that many of the readers of the letter to the Hebrews were those who were Hebrews in the flesh, So he said, once the members of the old covenant, and for their fellow Jews, they crucified Christ as a cause for stumbling and the object of fear and contempt. But why were then so beautiful shepherds that he has developed in the chapters of Christ? He stresses the need for these people to remain faithful. He encourages them in many different ways, using the good example of the forefathers of old. And it's interesting that he stresses the early fathers of God's covenant people in this chapter. And then he goes on to say, let us change the confession of our faith and not waver in it. We can trust him to do what he promised. Let us consider how we can stimulate one another in love and do good work. The righteous theology emphasizes the certain hope of our Christian faith. There is no need to waver. God, who is His Spirit, gave His own at that time, and also today gives us the power through His Spirit to follow Jesus Christ unwaveringly. Joyful in heart and joyful in spirit. And He also brings to use us the witness of our life and work to encourage others